Paul. Welcome, and thank you all for joining us for the December User Council meeting. We could start with a roll call.
In the room, we have Scott Nelson, Bruce Richard, Mark Newman, myself, Nick Vanistock, Paul Fussy, and Tim Woodall. On Teams, we have Mr. Chair John Rocco, Tammy Gogia Capro, Master Sergeant Joe Rodriguez, John Crona, Deputy Chief Keith Barron, Ross Atkinson, Jim Goodman, Bobby Carter, and Fire Marshal Kyle Green. Did I miss anybody? Oh, and wait, hold on one second. I did. Kevin Rocco, Peter Rogel, and Tim Tomet. Eli Barry.
Good afternoon.
This is
Carl Edwards. I'm here too.
Oh. You have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Mary. Let's move to the first agenda item, which is the review and approval of the November meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody had a chance to review those meeting minutes. Are there any questions, comments, or concerns regarding the November meeting minutes? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve.
This is Tammy. I will make a motion to approve.
Thank you very much, Tammy. And I need a second.
Second, Keith Barron.
Thank you, sir. If no questions or comments or corrections, I approve the November meeting minutes. Next on the agenda is the review of the action item. I do see one item in yellow that has been extended, and it talks about EPSCS briefed regarding the R1 and North on JBear. Do we have any updates for that, either Paul or Buckley?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul. I can take care of that. So I've been talking to Mr. Rose, who's our point of contact for Motorola out on Bay, and the batteries are on order right now, and we're just waiting for them to arrive so then they can be added on to R1 North.
Thank you very much, Paul. I appreciate the update. Moving to the next agenda item would be the user council action items. And at this point, we have no updates to that. We do have that carryover from October of 2023 regarding the APX Next radios. And we will be looking forward in the future for Motorola to give us a demonstration, especially when we have the FedRAMP approved for Critical Connect. Any questions on that? Hearing none, we can move to the operations management overview, and I turn it over to Paul Fussy. Paul?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, everybody. So we'll start with training. So Mr. Nelson has put out a video vignette regarding the console reboots and software patches. And that is in relation to when we do our Moto patches and we go out and ask everybody to restart or reboot their computers to make sure they have the latest security updates. And we work with David Reed, our security manager, on that one. So that's the training video that's on there. I know that Mr. Nelson is also working with the folks down at Soldana trying to set up a date to do some in-person training And once we get that solidified, we'll put that out also. So moving on to outreach. So we began meeting with the Juno team. For people who aren't aware, they did have a ballot measure that was passed for radios. It's out on the news also. But we met with them and in expanding the radio coverage in the Juneau-Douglas area. We had an initial meeting, and our next scheduled meeting for them is December 19th. So we're working with Erin and her team on that one. On November 21st, Patrick Thornton from the State Radio Shop and I attended the Kenai Peninsula Fire Chiefs meeting. That was basically to discuss their radio inventories and also their desire to go encrypted radio traffic and what they need to do to maintain interoperability. So, it was just the initial meeting. We got them some more information, what encryption they needed, the talk share agreements, and how to share their encryption on that one. It was just the initial meeting, and we're doing more further follow-up with them. But that was all the police chiefs on that one. I just want to thank Tammy for help setting that up and coordinating the meeting on that one. So thank you on that. Also, we're working on the January 15th AVMR Insider Newsletter. I've got some articles already put in there. But if anyone has a topic or something they would like me to cover, please email me, and then I'll get an article on that for that. I'll write it out. So I just want to make sure that we're getting input from our members on there and the different organizations. If there's something they want me to specifically put into the newsletter, I'll be happy to do that. But right now I've got two of the full-page articles I've already done and completed. I'm looking for some smaller ones if somebody has an idea. Also, the monthly APIP meeting, which is the Alaska Partnership for Infrastructure Protection, that'll be on December 19th at 10 a.m. I know I go to that one. Mr. Richter goes to that one. But anybody who is interested, let me know, and then I'll work with the chairperson to get that link out to you. They also, it's in person too. The Alaska Municipal League is currently hosting their annual local hosting their annual local government conference. That's December 9th through the 13th. That's in Anchorage. Currently, the Alaska chapter of the FBI National Academy Association is holding their annual executive development conference. That's being held in Anchorage right now, and that's December 2nd through the 6th. And we are, for the system upgrade, we're still waiting the remaining batteries for the Zone 1 master site ups back up. Side A is complete. However, only half of Side B has been upgraded. We got some more batteries in, and when they were installing them, they found that one battery was damaged during shipment. The replacement has been requested on that one. But when that comes in, we'll update everyone that that's been completed. Motorola is still working on the TAS and TAN upgrade. And then myself, Nick and his team, and then Scott and his team are attending our biweekly meetings with Motorola for the upgrades. And for the PMIs, 42 have been completed so far for the contract year. Any questions on training or outreach or system upgrade before I go to the November document reviews? Hearing none, I'll go on. November, December, because of the weather, we're not able to get out in the field quite a bit, so they're very heavy on document reviews. And as a reminder for everyone, it's scheduled and set up that certain documents are reviewed at least once a year. So the November document reviews was a high-level strategy, emergency button activation policy, system recovery policy, system incident response policy, the site book policy, help desk policy, subscriber acceptance testing, and the executive council charter. So very heavy for November, and December will be about the same on that. If we start going to November metrics, Mr. Chair, can you see the metrics okay?
Yes, Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So if we look at our last year for November, we had 1,406,359 calls. little bit less than last year. Our monthly push-to-talks, we're at 2,028,480. And our busies were up slightly from last month to 201. However, with the amount of push-to-talks and regular calls, a very small amount. Our subscriber counts were 32,584. And our sites below 3.9 were 13. And we changed up the view for this month. Instead of just listing them all out, we actually broke them down into what they were. So for Hill 3265, Pole Hill, and Quarry Hill, no power to the inverter at Quarry Hill that caused multiple outages. Beaver Creek, Cathedral Rapids, and Choke, bouncing. There were some software upgrades and Ethernet card swaps. And then due to some high winds and weather, the High Mountain, Moose Pass, Seward, and Walcott towers had some busies. And then other causes, Cooper Mountain, link interference with Summit Lake, and then Diamond Ridge was interference from the passing ship, which we talked about last month, and Nick and his team are working on that to eliminate that. And then the Sunny Hay, the torn dish cover, which caused some water issues in there, but that's been fixed now. Any questions on the metrics from anyone?
Hey, Paul, just a update on the Sunny Hay that was scheduled for this week, but we called it due to weather. We weren't going to be able to fly when we were down there. So getting rescheduled for January.
I apologize. I was going off my notes, Buckley. So through the chair, Buckley, thank you for updating me on that one. Okay, as we go to other, the quarterly zone control rollovers were completed. So Nick and I and Mr. Newman come in at 4 a.m. And we contact all the dispatch centers and let them know that we do zone control rollovers. And that's where we do our security patches in there. And the reason we contact every dispatch center, because we want them to know, one, that their consoles are going to go down for a second or two and come back up, but also to make sure that there's nothing major going on, like a fire or officers involved with anything. So that was completed yesterday and today without any hiccups. It went really well. And so that's completed for the quarter. I attended the monthly APOA meeting on 3 December. And as I mentioned, we're talking and working with the Juno team. And the final comment, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to wish everyone a happy holidays and a happy new year. That's my report, pending any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Paul. Are there any questions for Mr. Fussy? Hearing none, we can move on to Mr. Vanenstock for the System Management Office update. Nick, turn it to you.
Thanks, John. I've only got one thing that I wanted to bring up is every year, someone from the help desk, in this case, it would be Chris, would send out your annual asset inventory, you know, your radios, your KVLs, your ASKs. They typically start around August timeframe. They kind of roll through up until end of December, maybe a little bit into January. Just you don't have to necessarily reply to them, you know, or take 100% accountability or anything. But if you notice something that's wrong, inaccurate, you know, let us know. You know, don't wait for the next guy. Don't wait for the next year. You know, it's most of it's an easy fix. You know, and it just keeps everything better accounted for. And that's all I've got. And it's required.
Mr. Chair, that's with Paul. That was the end of Nick's report.
Thank you very much. I was speaking while I was on mute. Again, Thank you, Nick. Are there any questions for Mr. Van Esterbach? Hearing none, we can move on to the next agenda item, which is the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. We'll start with the State of Alaska, and I turn it over to Mr. Buckley Clark. Buckley?
Yeah, not a whole lot of updates from the state. As Paul mentioned, we have been doing some software upgrades and some Ethernet card upgrades that have caused a few bounces here and there. But the upgrade should ensure that that equipment works well for the future. We've also been doing a few battery plant upgrades. So a couple in Juneau got replaced in the last month. And their team is currently deployed, replacing one in Dot Lake area. So up on the Alaska Highway. But that's it from the state.
Thank you, Buckley. Are there any questions for Mr. Clark? We can move on to DOD, and I turn it over to Mr. Woodall. Tim?
Good afternoon. Want to say to the DOD folks out there, we have we had a conversation a few weeks back with the state of Alaska concerning the upcoming contract. So there will be a new contract in 2026 for infrastructure operations and maintenance services. Since we're going to be working on a performance work statement, if you have things that aren't currently covered by the contract, like batteries and so forth, microwave or whatever other type of services that aren't covered, and you want to see them covered in the contract, please let me know. If you're not familiar what's covered in the contract currently, get a hold of me and I'll get you a copy of the statement of work. But I think we do have some things that aren't covered, and it was probably a good idea for us to get them on contract for the next 10-year period so that we're not having to run out and execute contracts or not have any contract vehicle at all to fix something that may need to be fixed in an emergency. So if you could think about those things over the next 3 or 4 weeks, and then I think in January we're going to hit that pretty hard to try to get that statement of work completed so we know what we want in the next iteration of the contract. That's all I got, unless anybody's got questions.
Thank you, Tim. Any questions for Mr. Woodall? Then we move on to the User Council representative updates. We'll start with the SOA component with DOT. Any updates from DOT?
Good afternoon. This is John. And no, nothing to add at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. And DPS? I don't believe there's anything to add at this time either. We could move to all others, Mr. Nelson or Mr. Edwards.
This is Scott Nelson. I don't have anything at this time.
Thank you, Scott.
And this is Carl. I have nothing else.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to DOD components. We'll start with U.S. Army installations. How about J-Bear? Or Eielson?
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Matt Sergeant Rodriguez here. We did accept delivery of 230 APX 6500s this past week. So we're currently working on our game plan to get those programmed and schedule the high number of installs. So that'll be a pretty intense little time frame for us. And then while I have the opportunity, I also wanted to introduce Mr. Nathan Adams here with me, a new civilian hire coming to us from Hill Air Force Base down in Utah. Eventually, we'll be taking myself or Sergeant Maley's place on these calls and on the council.
Well, welcome to the User Council. Thank you very much. Moving on to the next, which is federal non-DOD field aid components. Anything from DOJ? How about DOI? And all others? Moving to the municipal component, we could start with Central. Any updates, Tammy or Jim?
This is Tammy, and I do not have any updates. Thank you.
Thank you. How about you, Jim?
No, sir.
Okay, we can move to North.
Keith Berrien for North. No updates.
Thank you, sir. How about Southeast? Moving to the next agenda item, which is new business. I'm going to turn the meeting over to Mr. Fussy. The first item on the agenda is the announce of the 2025 chair and vice chair. Paul?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul. I will turn that over to Mary.
Thank you. For after all the ties and everything like that, we do finally have the 2025 chair, which will be Mr. Scott Nelson. And then the vice chair will be Ms. Tammy Gojek-Cockrell. Anybody have any questions?
Did I hear any questions from the group?
We hear some groans.
Well, congratulations, Scott and Tammy. I look forward to working with you in those roles. Tammy, you've been incredible vice chair for many years. I know, you know, you will both do a great job. Are there any other items that we should be opening up for new business at this time?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul Fussy.
Yes, sir.
So for the group, as Mary alluded to, we had several ties. So I reached out to Sherry. And this is the first time we'd ever had a tie in the history of the user council, let alone two back-to-back. As we went through the user council charter and policies and procedures, with 12 user council members, there is nothing in the user council charter to address how to break a tie when voting for chair or vice chair. So, Mr. Chair, I'd like to bring up that we, when the user council charter is up for renewal, we will have to look at putting something in there or some standard to break a tie, because there's nothing currently in user council charter. And obviously, this is the first time it's ever happened, so this is the first time we realize we don't have anything in the charter to address this situation.
So, Paul, would you like to open up the forum for discussion points on what might be put in the charter? Do you want us to kind of contemplate what that would look like and bring it up in the next meeting? Or do you have a suggestion for a motion to add at this point?
Mr. Chair, I have some ideas, but I'd like all the members to think about it and reach out to Mary with it. And we're addressing and going through Robert's Rules of Order for Parliamentary Procedure to make sure we are concurrent with Robert's Rules of Orders. But just to get it out there for all our members to think about it, and we'll bring it up at the next user council with some ideas to put out for a motion.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Mr. Fussy. Are there any other questions on either the announcement of the chair and vice chair and or questions regarding the process for how do we resolve a tie vote in the future? Hearing none, we can move to the next agenda item under new business. And that would be a CISA report from Mr. Bruce Richter. Bruce, I turn it over to you.
Thank you, John.
this could not be more timely on the way over here. Email came out from Brian Fisher, the director over at Division of Homeland Security Emergency Management for the state, saying this would be worth discussing with Alaska Land Memorial User Council today. And what he was referring to is a guide that just came out yesterday, December 3rd, from CISA, the FBI, National Security Agency, our Australian partners at the Australian Cybersecurity Center, the Canadian Cybersecurity Center, the New Zealand Cybersecurity Center, and the Australian Signals Directorate. And it's an 8-page document, but I'm just going to read the introduction and refer you to the rest of it, and I've shared it with Mary to please share it widely. It's traffic light protocol clear, which means it's not restricted information. We want people to be aware of this. These agencies are releasing this guide to highlight the People's Republic of China affiliated threat actors' compromise of the networks of major global telecommunications providers to conduct a broad and significant cyber espionage campaign. This guide is to highlight this threat and provide network engineers and defenders of communications infrastructure with best practices to strengthen the visibility and harden their network devices against successful exploitation carried out by PRC-affiliated and other malicious cyber actors. The authoring agencies encourage telecommunications and other critical infrastructure organizations to apply the best practices of this guide. No novel activity has been observed, but patching vulnerable devices and services, as well as generally securing environments, will reduce opportunities for intrusion and mitigate the actor's activity. And some of the activity doesn't have to be necessarily cyber-related. It might be people are flying drones over some of your critical infrastructure, and it might not just be hobbyists. It might be somebody that's trying to understand how to target that infrastructure. So just be aware of this. It's a significant threat. The specific guide that was released on December 3rd includes some good input from Cisco, because what they're finding is that in this patchwork of 3G, 4G, 5G evolving communications networks, there is older infrastructure embedded in those networks that may not have gotten the maintenance and the upgrades that are recommended. And that's one of the tools that's being exploited. So I know we talked about this before, but following this whole Volt Typhoon, Salt Typhoon, there is a new development every week. And this latest guide just released yesterday, these agencies that release this do not get paid by the product. There's a reason this came out, so please be aware of it. Share that information with your network defenders that can utilize the specific indicators of compromise. And as always, if there are questions, I've got people at CISA that are much smarter than me on this topic that I can refer you to if you need some extra information. Thank you for the chance to share that brief.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Are there any comments or questions either for Bruce or in general regarding some of the cyber threats that we're being faced with on a daily basis? So we're still in the agenda for new business. Is there any additional new business that anybody would like to bring up at this time? How about any comments or updates that anybody would like to share with the group?
Sure. Hey, this is Scott Nelson. I just wanted to thank you all for putting your trust in me to act as the chair this year. When I first came on to ALMR, John Rockwell and Nate Skinner, who's no longer with us, trained me up on actually what it takes to run the this radio system, because I was just an end user at the time, and how extensive this was. And what I want to tell John Rockwell straight up, John, you are one of the kindest and most well-spoken people I have ever met. And thank you for all of your wisdom, and I'm going to be tapping you for more.
Thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate that. And just want to let everybody know, I am going nowhere.
Or is it
the other way around? I'm not going anywhere. I mean, you know, it's like one of those things, you know. So thanks, Scott. I appreciate it. All right. Anything else? Anybody, again, any comments or questions or just chit-chat regarding what you guys are doing with the radio?
Mr. Chair, it appears Kyle has his hand up.
Yes, Kyle. I apologize. I did not see that. Kyle, let me open it up to you.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to throw out there, if it's not on your radar, a save the date for the 5x5 conference for 2025. It's June 3rd through 5th in Seattle, Bellevue, Washington. More details can be found online if you search for the 5x5 conference that's hosted by the FirstNet Authority in coordination with the National Institute of Standards Technology, their PSDR division, which is the Public Safety Communications Research. And the goal of the conference is to bring public safety, academia, government, and industry together for about 3 days to discuss the design future for first responder communications. And this is everything from networking or network of first responder communications to the devices themselves. So they love having users attend, and it doesn't matter if you're public safety, DOD, or maybe you're another user another agency that uses public safety communications infrastructure. These folks want to hear from you in that as they design products, as NIST learns more about how we use it and create standards that we can then turn around as users and put out RFPs considering those standards. It was a fantastic conference that I attended in Chicago last year. I highly recommend it if you're interested or will be sticking around in this industry for a little while, and to see what's coming down the pipeline from some very bright people. And I, Mary, I see your request to send you a link. I will go ahead and forward you the save the date for that conference that can be broadcasted out. And if you have any questions about that conference, feel free to give me a call or contact me via email. I'm happy to answer them. It was 100% worth the time I went when I went to Chicago last year for it. So thank you.
Thank you, Kyle. Thanks for the update on that. And yes, Kyle represented the state well last year when he went up. And your focus for that, Kyle, was from the extended antenna technology as well as working with some of the FirstNet components. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I was a guest there on behalf of NIST for that, but yes, I work really closely with FirstNet on some of the stuff we're doing with D12 and the extended coverage that the high-powered user equipment brings for LTE connectivity and 5G. But then also I was there meeting with many other SWICs, other network, other radio network, public safety radio network folks, engineers, learning about how they've made the transition and implementing other technologies into their P25 systems, and you know what they've experienced, what they're working through, and I'm confident that as they continue more and we are getting ready to launch that broadband connectivity to ALMR whenever FedRAMP is ready to go, we will be prepared to maybe not stumble like some of the other jurisdictions have in the nation from the learning that they've done. So would love to see a cohort of Alaska and folks on the user council maybe go down. I'm hoping to go myself. So if there's a broad interest, we can travel together and learn together and network together. It was a tremendous conference. So I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kyle, for the update. Any questions for Kyle before we let him go?
So Through the chair, Kyle, this is Paul. Could you send that link to Mary so she can send it out to everyone, please?
It is leaving my email box right now.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thank you. Before we adjourn, I want to announce the next meetings. Currently, they're scheduled for January 8th, since January 1st is a holiday, and then February 5th.
Mr. Chair, before you adjourn, Bruce Richter with one more add-on. Kyle reminded me of this when he talked about 5x5. In July, also in Seattle, CISA is working with a bunch of partners preparing for the World Cup that's coming in 2026. But the specific thing that we've got going is a two-day exercise on intentional and unintentional radio frequency interference and a cyber attack to disrupt communications during that game. And so during the week of July 14th to 18th, we're going to be doing this actual functional exercise down there near CenturyLink Stadium. And we don't have invitational travel money, but if somebody wanted to come down and be an observer or an evaluator or even a participant in the exercise, I'll forward that info to Mary. And the other thing that I can definitely do for you is when this is all done, we've got the hot wash and we've got the debrief, I'll get my colleague Brandon Smith up here to do a brief out for the ALMR User Council on what the lessons learned from this exercise were. But if there is somebody that has reasons they want to get down to Seattle July 14th to 18th and be a participant or an observer or an evaluator, I'll get that info out to you and we can make that happen.
Bruce, thank you very much for that update. Anything else? The floor is open. Well, hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Tammy. I'll make a motion to adjourn. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. And a second?
Keith Berrien.
Thank you, Keith. And again, congratulations, Tammy and Scott. I look forward to working with you in the future. And we are adjourned.